So I volunteer at an organization called Youth Link, and at a place called the Youth Link Opportunity Center. And it is a day service center for homeless young adults and youths. And they have every imaginable kind of service there. There's, you know, showers and laundry and medical and legal clinics and tutors and counselors, everything but beds and spiritual care. So I've started this volunteer experiment there where I show up with bagels and sit in the cafeteria and just deeply listen to them, whatever it is that they have to say, on the notion that probably one of their deep, intangible needs is to just be heard, just be seen. So I was there last week, and a young man approached me. Let's call him Anthony. And he was telling me how totally exhausted and frustrated he was that still, after 4 years of living on the street, he didn't have a place to live. And he couldn't understand it. There were other youths who would come to Youth Link and who had been there less time than him, and they had a place to live, and he still didn't. And, you know, for a variety of reasons, this young man probably can't work. So things looked really hopeless for him. He said, I know I just have to be patient, but it's really hard. I tell you, my role there is to just listen. But the last thing I wanted to do right then was just to listen. I wanted to leap up, run to an apartment building, and rent him an apartment right then and there, even if I had to pay for it myself. I wanted to find out how it is that we can have a system that lets a maturing boy live on the street for 4 years with little hope of any improvement. I realized, though, that it was my job and my role to not fix it, but to sit with him in his frustration and pain. So I think there comes a point for all of us where we have to confront how limited our capacity is to right wrongs. But is that the end of the story? Today's text from Exodus is a great story. It's the story of the beginning of God's call to Moses. Before we get into the details, though, of today's text, I think it's worth finding out a little bit more about Moses from the previous chapters in Exodus. First of all, Moses is a guy who cannot stand injustice. Earlier in Exodus, we see Moses, while he's still in Egypt, he sees an Egyptian oppressing a Hebrew slave. So he kills the Egyptian, and he hides the body. And the next day, he sees two Hebrew slaves fighting each other, and he intervenes. And they say, "What are you going to do, Moses? You're going to kill us like you did the Egyptian yesterday?" And he realizes he's in trouble. So he takes off from Midian across the desert. The point is, Moses is a guy you want on your team. He would be a great bouncer. He's probably an 8 on the Enneagram, for those of you who know that. But he would be great on the social justice ministry team. But for all his giftedness around and passion around justice, it's only gotten him to the desert in Midian. His people are still slaves. There's not much hope for them. So by the time our text happens, basically Moses is in the desert taking Prozac. He is depressed. There's just not very much hope. And so in this state, Moses is leading his sheep. He's going through the desert. He comes to the far side of the desert to Mount Horeb. Horeb means wasteland. There's really not much there. And in the middle of this wasteland, Moses looks over and sees a bush, and it's burning. And so, you know, I'm imagining that this bush is a flimsy, spiny thing that really ought to go up in smoke in a couple of seconds. But it keeps burning on and on without being consumed. So Moses does something that seems really small, but I think it's the most significant thing that happens in the text. He stops and he turns aside and he goes to look. And when God sees that Moses has stopped and is looking, God starts talking to him. And God says, "I've seen what's happening to the Israelites. I have heard them crying. I am well aware of their sufferings, and I have come down to rescue them. And Moses is saying, yes, you're speaking my language. And then God says, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to do it. And Moses is probably freaked out at this point. But you know, it's actually not much of a stretch that God picked Moses to do this. Moses is all about righting wrongs and fighting injustice. It's just that Moses' own giftedness was not enough to accomplish the task. Moses needed to encounter God. Moses needed to recognize that his passion for justice was only a pale, limited reflection of God's far deeper, more intimate compassion for what was happening to God's people. Moses' giftedness needed to be ignited by an encounter with the great mystery, the I Am, who is at the same time utterly beyond naming, and who is also a God who describes God's self relationally as the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So what in the world does any of this have to do with us? This is a great story, but it's easy to hear it as if it happened in, you know, long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away. Ironically, I think this text has everything to do with us today. With us, with lament, with Lent, and with vocation. This Lent, we've been praying the Psalms of Lament because we've recognized that healing doesn't happen until we face and confront our suffering. The Psalms of Lament say things like this: how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? Anthony says, how long, O Lord, must I live on the street? The people of Syria say, how long, O Lord, must we be oppressed by our rulers and live in the terror of war? The homeless across the world say, how long, O Lord, must we be cold and hungry while others throw food away? We all have ways we finish that sentence. How long, O Lord? Lent is a time for lament. It's a time for saying how long. But it's also traditionally a time for repentance. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of us, when we hear the word repentance, we wince. Because we were raised in traditions that taught us, you know, we were completely depraved by the age of 2. So it's hard to hear the word repentance sometimes. But that word just means turning around. It means changing direction. Moses, when he saw the burning bush, turned around. And he stopped what he was doing. He gave up his agenda. And he went over to look out of wonder and curiosity. I think God is actually always trying to get our attention. I don't think the burning bush is a mythical one-time event. I think, actually, that if we would stop and slow down and look, we would find that God is today trying to get our attention. I think that secretly, in ways we rarely tell anyone, we already know this. In today's culture, we're just bombarded by sensory stimulation all over the place, and many of us put on blinders just so we can not be distracted long enough to get through today's to-do list. But what if instead we took the chance to expect God's call in the midst of our lament? What if we gave ourselves permission to just stop? And when those moments happen, when something crazy gets our attention and our imagination, what if we put aside our agendas and went to look at it, expecting maybe that God has something to say to us in the middle of it? God does care about our suffering. God is intimately familiar with it from the inside. And God is not a God who is distant, but who actually shows up through physical reality, working through people, working through amazement and wonder. So for the rest of Lent, I would invite each of us not just to lament, but also to repent, meaning to stop and turn when those moments of wonder happen, to be open to the possibility that the living God can and does intervene in human life through our gifts at whatever stage in our journey we are, through our gifts ignited by the presence and calling of God. Amen.